Blog Talk Radio.
To the Almighty. My name is Yom Suparif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. in that relationship. You know, I'm always a firm believer. If you don't believe and learn from the mistakes of the past, you're doomed to repeat them. And so, case in point, if we have failures, it's because we hadn't learned anything from our past. And how can we ascertain that and find that out? By due diligence in our studies. Get into the bottom of it. Get into the core of the matter. You know, I'm also a firm believer that you can tell somebody any way, any shape, any form, any fashion. For some people, it's not going to amount to very much because they're going to see the fault in how you're telling it. They're not going to see the fault in what you're saying. They're not going to see the relevance of what you're saying. What do I call them? Well, what does the word of Yah call them? I call them fools. It's true. Yes, it certainly is true. But before we get started, Cartrell and I, my brother and friend from New York City, I like to make ongoing comments about contemporary subject matters. As we can see, the Andre Brown Jr. Matters seem to be accelerating, and there are more questions than answers. The FBI is getting involved to see whether civil rights violated. Come to find out, he was shot 5 times, 4 in 1 arm, I believe his right arm, and 1 in the back, in the lower upper base part of his neck and head coming together. And but the police said they offered all the film that's necessary. That's all the information they got. They don't have a start, begin, and ending. They just got a clip of an ending. But you mean to tell me they don't have a starting point, a middle point, and an ending? But the only snippet they got is 20 seconds of an ending. Come on now. My mama ain't raised no fools, and neither has yours. That being said, Cartrell, my brother, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother. May he bless you and your family.
Thank you. They showed more on the news tonight.
Right.
They showed the officers getting out of the pickup truck. You saw that?
Right. Right, I saw that, but I didn't hear
it. I was wondering why so many of them was on suspension or retired or whatever.
Right.
It's like they sent the army after that, brother.
Yeah, and why didn't, is that, you just roll down and start shooting on folks, is that what it is? That's all the evidence you got? You roll up, you roll down, you start shooting.
They went straight into war zone mode.
Mama ain't raised no food. Your mama ain't raised no food, Cartrell. Okay.
They said they shot him when his hands was on the wheel of the car.
Mm-hmm.
He jumps out and runs. They shoot him in the back of the head.
No, he didn't even get out the car, Cartrell. He never
got out the car.
He never got out the car. They pulled up behind him and stopped him. So, from what I've been told, he kept his hand on the steering wheel. And when they started shooting, he tried to get away from the shooting. I don't blame him. And so he pulled forward. He pulled forward and tried to cross a line. They kept up shooting. He never got out of his vehicle, not one time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, your mama ain't raised no fool, Cartrell, okay? And neither has mine.
He's about North Carolina, right?
North Carolina.
They had 28 seconds of the police's body cam, and there was like 8 or 9 cops there. And all you got is 28 seconds from one?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was stationed there in 74, about a whole year, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Camp Lejeune. I think it was in Fayetteville. And I was a 17-year-old I didn't too much care for it then, and I still don't too much care for North Carolina.
Well, I know they better come out with more than 28 seconds of video because you just scored George Floyd thing.
I know that right.
The law.
Yeah, they must think we stupid. That's all we got. That's all we got. Whatever.
And we ain't forgot about, you remember Amber Ginger, right? She killed the brother who
right.
was in his own apartment.
Right.
They're in the same building. She goes to the wrong floor and opens the brother's door and shoots him, thinking that he was in her apartment, but she was in his apartment. And she's a police officer. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, bro. I remember that. Yeah. You can't stay in your own place. You can't sit in your own driveway. You can't run. You can't hold your hands up. You can't ask, please get off my neck. What in the hell can we do? But I
and don't send your children to the park with toy guns.
No. Because I tell you, don't send your boy to get no kilts and iced tea. Okay? And that madman running around.
Yeah. They talking about they caught the 10 most wanted in the Capitol insurrection, right?
Right.
10 most wanted?
Look like more than 10 to me.
Like 10,000 of them was out there.
I know that, right. That's okay numbers. I bet it was
you
us.
Got
they
the 10 most wanted.
They okay. got every, if it was us, Contrail. They'd have got everyone they could identify. Okay?
So with them, you only get 10 out of 10,000.
Come on, bro.
Whatever.
Stop it.
You get all 10,000, or at least 7,000 to 3,000 that you ain't killed.
Well, 7, if killed. I see it, Katria, you know and I know, if it had been us, the outcome would have been different anyway. So let's get started in our studies if you're done with your commentary.
Well, wait a minute. I got some more bizarre news.
Okay, go ahead.
You're coming up with a genetically modified mosquito.
Who's modifying a mosquito?
Scientists.
For what?
They want to reduce mosquito population. So some way, somehow, they are modifying the male mosquito.
Okay.
So that he don't produce females or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But they crazy as hell.
Man,
they learned a lesson from the killer bees, did they?
Yeah, they never learned, Katja. That's why I said, you know, when I began this show, that if we don't, and I'm talking in regards to us as a people, as a nation, if we don't learn from the past, we are doomed to repeat it.
Do you know and that mosquitoes kill more human beings on Earth than any other species of life that exists?
Say, so it does what to human beings?
It kills more human beings every year than any other species of life. We're talking about poison snakes. We're talking about tigers. We're talking about lions. We're talking about hippopotamus. We're talking about animals with rabies. They say mosquitoes kill more people on the planet than any other living entity.
Well, Cartier, it seems like science in the up to ante, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's called depopulation, bro.
Exactly. All right, Cartier. Thank you, Cartier, for that tidbit of information.
Yes,
all right, fellow students, get your maps out. I like to call it a map because that's what it is. It's a historical map of history. And you can learn a lot. And turn to chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. And we're coming upon the scene where things are going to get real hard for King Saul and his son. And it's not 30, excuse me, it's 31. And things are going to get rather hard for King Saul and his son, Jonathan, and his sons. And so let us begin. Because I said this at the beginning of the show, and if I could be redundant in saying it, if you don't learn from your past or learn from every 1 minute went by, 1 second, that's our past. Passing is not determined in times of years. It's just a past. A few seconds from now, it'll be the past. But if you don't learn from that past, whether or not it's in forms of years and whatnot, minutes or whatnot, you're doomed to repeat it. And apparently in the case of King Saul, he didn't learn. He was doomed to suffer the consequences, just like some of us are suffering right today as we speak, Cartrell and I, and we go through these study sessions. The Philistines attacked Israel. And the men of Israel fled before the Philistines, and many fell on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines pursued King Saul and his sons. The Philistines struck down Jonathan, King David's friend, and Abinadab, and Machushua, sons of King Saul. The battle raged around King Saul. Some of the archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. King Saul said to his arm bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, so that the uncircumcised may not run me through and make a sport of me." But his arm bearer, in his great awe, refused. He had great respect for the king, and he refused. Whereupon King Saul grasped his sword and fell upon it himself. He did like a Japanese harakara, whatever they call it. Kaja, what do the Japanese call it when they do that?
Harry Carey.
Yeah, Harry Carey. He did a Japanese. You think that's what we got it from? They got it from Kaja. He fell upon his sword. Mm-hmm.
To die in honor, rather than
He didn't want the Philistines to make a mockery of his body. So when his arm bearer saw that King Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. He had love for the king, and he respected the king. Thus King Saul, his three sons, and his arm bearer, as well as all his men, I guess he's talking about his personal bodyguards, died together on that day. When the men of Israel on the other side of the valley and on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that King Saul and his sons were dead, I guess they were watching. They abandoned the towns and fled. The Philistines then came and occupied them. The next day, the Philistine came to strip the slain, and they found King Saul and his three sons lying on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head. They stripped him of his armor. And he sent them throughout the land of the Philistines to make mockery, to spread the news in the temples of their idols and among the people. They placed his armor in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they impaled his body on the wall of Bashan. When the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of it, what the Philistines had done to King Saul, all their stalwart men, the mighty men, set out and marched all night. They removed the bodies of King Saul and his sons from the wall of Bashan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. These are Benjamites. If you didn't know, now you know these are men of Benjamin. Then they took the bones and buried them under the Tamish, I guess that tree he liked to hang out at, in Jabesh. And they fasted for 7 days. They lamented him for 7 days. Well, what say you, my brother and friend, about these stalwart men, about King Saul and about the arm bearer and whatnot?
Well, the arm bearer, he did the honorable thing. The arm bearer is there to protect the king above all. He's carrying a shield, a sword. If the king is dead, what use is he? He's gone there. So he saw that the king was dead, and he committed Harry Carey, and he did the same thing. Because remember when King Saul was in the cave, and King David took his, his staff and his jug of water?
Right.
And he called out Abner.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Abner, you negated your responsibility in protecting the king."
Right.
Allowed him, to be vulnerable
Right.
So who this new armor bearer was, they don't give his name, but the fact that he took his life because he didn't protect the king was mm-hmm. like, you know, that was the honorable thing to do. And
right.
the fact that Jonathan's men and his bodyguards, wow. they saw that Prince Jonathan fell, what were they supposed to do? You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? But that didn't have to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
King Saul could have did what was right and pleasing by Yah, and they wouldn't have had the face. He's so bent on killing King David, his supposed
mm-hmm.
rival,
right.
that he forsook his mission as the king
mm-hmm.
of the nation. And then he told his armor bearer to kill him because he wanted the Philistines to do something to his body after he was dead. Guess what?
Well, they did it anyway.
They did something to his body anyway.
Anyway.
Because cutting off his head was payback for what King David did to Goliath, right?
Right.
And then they stuck his body to the wall. Total disrespect.
Yeah, total disrespect. But it's going to be paid back for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if what comes around goes around, so to speak, Cartrell.
Even though we don't have valiant men, leaders like King Saul, who if he did his job, he probably would have been very successful. But he was a warrior, and he faced his death. He didn't run. He didn't try to get out the country and hide from the Philistines and go into exile. He faced what he knew was his final day.
Right.
right.
Yeah, he could have run off. He could have run
right.
off. Samuel the prophet. Samuel the prophet told him that his end result that day, because it was early turning into that day. Say, hey, for the nightfall tonight, you gonna be one man, partner. Say no more. He could have run off, hid in the cave, but he knew there wasn't no sense of running off from Yah.
And trying to take that judgment.
Right.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Truth be told. A lot of us ought to have the mind of King Saul. Maybe we'll stop doing some of the things we do, Cartrell.
Yeah. We all got to face that judgment that day. You ain't going to be able to run from it. Trust me. You got to face it, just like he did.
Well, you better get it right. That's what we always say, Cartrell.
That's
right. You best get it right. Make it right with y'all. That's your best bet. Because you can do all you want to do, running off at the mouth, talking about who you are, what you going to do. But if ain't no Yah, what you is running off at the mouth. You ain't talking loud and saying nothing. Just like James Brown said, talking loud and saying nothing. All right, Cartrell.
So,
one other
element before you move on.
Okay.
Because you probably didn't notice it.
Okay.
What did the valiant men of Israel do to the bodies of King Saul and
Prince Jonathan? I noticed it. They burned
What did you
body.
Notice?
They burned
oh.
the body.
You know what they call that? They call it cremation.
Cremation, right.
And Israel always asking me, is cremation lawful by Yah? Well,
right.
your first king got cremated along with his son.
Exactly.
Your first king. Your first king. Our
right.
first
got
king.
Cremated. Right.
And the sons of the first king. So
mm-hmm.
don't ask me about cremation because maybe if your body is disrespected when you die, maybe you should be cremated.
Exactly. Considering the circumstances. Maybe
right.
maybe you have and you get attacked by wild animals. They desecrate your body. It's time
our
to place
your body is full of toxins and poison.
Right.
Based on what you've been eating and the land you've been living in.
Right. And see, and sometimes as we've read in our additional studies, there's a time and place for everything under the sun. Okay? There's a time and place, and it's your call to make. Not my call, not Yom Suf, but it's your call to make. Okay? It's your family call to make. Right.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And we know our people are dying because their bodies are polluted. Cancer,
right.
diabetes, all kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff. Our bodies are poison.
Yep.
Right.
So there's time and place. That when bodies are affected like that, and they can be contagious, it's time and place for everything under the sun. Okay?
And Yah didn't have a problem with them burning the bodies of King Saul, Prince Jonathan, and his brother.
No, he didn't have a problem.
Really
well, he would have made mention of it. He would have made mention
really
of
know.
It. Obviously.
We already know.
Right.
We already know that the
mm-hmm.
prophet Samuel told him that he was going to join him before the next day was over. He didn't tell him he was going to She-Hole. He said, you're going to join me. Because this is what you got.
Well, Katria, that physical container that holds your body,
mm-hmm.
I know we all like to give due diligence to that physical container. But as I said, there's a time and place for everything under the sun, okay?
And it's so revealing.
Go ahead, Katria.
I'm going to let you go, because I could try
No. I want to hear this.
But we're dealing with death. People have a lot of questions about death. In these last three chapters we've read, we've learned so much about what happens after you die. You can talk to people after they die, but Yah said don't do it because it's necromancy.
Right. Exactly.
And the fact that the witch of Endor was able to do it and the prophet spoke to the king and told him what the future was going to be and told him where his soul was going to go.
Right.
And the fact that when the witch of Endor called the spirit of the prophet Saul, his spirit didn't come down. It came up. So we think when we die, we're going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
No. Your spirit remains in the realm that Yah put it in.
Exactly. And that's that on that. You know, some people talking about the earth flat contrail. Have you heard that before?
Flat earth, yeah.
You've heard that before?
Flat earth, yeah. Flat earth theory.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, until the Most High takes me up in the chariot like Elijah and I can look back and look down, I'll give you the answer when you do that.
My man. All right, brother. Fellow students, let's move right along. Turn to second chapter of Samuel. And we're going to see the response of a true king to the goings on. After the death of King Saul, King David had already returned from defeating the Amalekites. King David stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, a man came from King Saul's camp with his clothes rent and earth on his head where he was lamenting. And he approached King David and flung himself to the ground and bowed low. King David said to him, "Where are you coming from?" He answered, "I've just escaped from the camp of Israel." And he asked, "What happened?" Asked David, "Tell me." He told him how the troops had fled the battlefield, and that moreover many of the troops had fallen and died. Also that King Saul and his son Jonathan were dead. And he asked, "How do you know?" King David asked the young man who brought him the news, "that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." The young man who brought him the news answered, "I happen to be at Mount Gabor. And I saw King Saul leaning on his spear and the chariots and horsemen closing in on him. He looked around and saw me." This naughty boy finna lie. The only thing he had to do was tell the truth. "And he called to me." There's what's wrong with some of us now, Cartrell. You know, people tell a lie when the truth would suffice. He got to embellish his role in the situation. "King Saul called to me. When I responded, at your service. He asked me, who are you? I told him that I was an Amalekite. Then he said to me, stand over me and finish me off, for I'm in agony and barely alive. So I stood over him and finished him off, embellishing his role, which gonna cost him his life. For I knew that he would never rise and went trying to excuse his actions. I knew he had never rise from where he was lying. He was already mortally wounded. Then I took the crown from his head, the amulet from his arm, and I brought them here to you, my lord, thinking he's going to get some points." King David took go ahead.
He said that is what King David wanted.
No, that ain't what he wanted.
So he could put the crown on his head and say, now I'm the king because I've been anointed.
Right. Oh, see, King David didn't want it like that. He didn't want it like that. He didn't want no parts of that. You'll find out. You will find out. King David took hold of his clothes and rent toward him. And so did all the men with him. They lamented and wept. They fasted until evening for King Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the soldiers of Yah and the house of Israel who had fallen by the sword. King David said to the young man, the Amalekite, who had brought him the news, "Where are you from?" He replied, I'm a son of a resident alien in y'all country. I'm an Amalekite." He said, King David said, "How did you dare?" Said to him, "Lift your hand and kill Yah's anointed." Thereupon, King David called one of his, said to him, "Come over and strike him." He struck him down and he died. And King David said to him, "Your blood be on your own head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, I put the Yah's anointed to death." See, sometimes our mouth can write a check, our behind can't write. Sometimes it's best to tell the truth anyway. And he thought he was going to get some points by that. I mean, you're a resident. Your father was a resident, and you didn't kill the king. I wouldn't have laid my hands on the king. That was King Dawood said. Now, you didn't struck the king. I don't care what excuse you're trying to use. Your mouth to testify against you. You didn't run your mouth off. See, contrary. I know this fellow was an Amalekite, but some of us are so much like the Amalekites somewhere. We like to run out of mouth. Yeah, we like to get points. Go ahead, Kyle.
Trying to get props.
Trying to get props. And King Dawood intoned this dredge over King Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered the Yehudites to be taught the song of the bow. It is recorded in the book of Yashar. I wonder where that book at, Katria, the book of Yashar.
It's out there. You could go online and find it.
Oh, have you read the book of Yashar?
Some of it, yeah.
How is it?
It's synchronistic. Mm-hmm. The book of Yashar tells intricate stories about our ancient fathers.
Okay.
It talks about the final words of our ancient fathers, like the sons of Jacob.
Right.
Their testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff is in it. The Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls, our people should get a hold of that, because that's one book our enemies don't want us to get a hold of. The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
Because the Dead Sea Scrolls really lay it out.
Okay.
I mean, in vivid detail.
Well,
the Book of Jasper, that's a book, one of many. And we're going to see more of these books that are not in there, like the book of the king, the king of the war of the Most High, book of the war of the king.
We're going to have to get that information. I'm going to have to make sure I try to ascertain where I can get those books and make sure we can share that information on the show. Okay. Thank you, guys.
By King David's action, he didn't reward the Amalekites for killing King Saul and bringing his crown and his bracelet and his ring. No, he took him out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a political statement. No, I wasn't, that wasn't my mission to kill the king. And I don't want the people to perceive that was my mission. No.
Right.
You put your hand on the king, the Most High is anointed, that's on you. How do you know that the Most High wouldn't have did a miracle and brought him back to life? But you took the initiative by your own words. Mm-hmm. Which you shouldn't have been saying anyway, because you didn't really do what you said you did.
You lied.
Yeah, why would you lie?
Right. That cost you your life, running your mouth off lying. Mm-hmm. All right, Cartier, fellow student. And this is a song he wrote about King Saul and his son. Your glory, O Israel.
Wait. All this time, we know that King Saul was bitter about a certain song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, the song he was so bitter about.
Right.
The person he was so bitter about is now writing a song of love for him.
Right. And he said, "Your glory, O Israel, which is your king, and your prince, your royal prince, lies slain on your heights. How have the mighty fallen? Can it not in Gaza? Do not proclaim in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. O hills of Gibeah, let there be no dew or rain on you, or bountiful fields, for there the shield of warriors lay rejected, the shield of King Saul, polished with oil no more, from the blood of slain, from the fat of warriors, the bow of Jonathan. I guess Jonathan was an archer. Never turned back. The sword of King Saul never withdrew empty. King Saul and Prince Jonathan, beloved and cherished, never parted. In life or in death, they were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep over King Saul, who clothed you in crimson and finery. Because when he came on the scene, y'all didn't have much of nothing. Now because of him, y'all got a whole lot of something. Yes.
How do we talk about King Saul now?
Well, they talk about him any old kind of trashy old messy old way.
King David wasn't doing that, was he?
No, he gave that man his props.
That's why we should do the same thing, right?
Exactly. Even with each other.
That's why when I hear our people talk about our kings and call them by their first name without giving them titles, we totally are disrespecting ourselves, our roots, our culture, our history. Because we'll say King George, Queen Elizabeth, King Henry, Prince James, but we'll just say our kings by their first name.
Hey, that's how
we do. Kings at all.
That's what miseducation gets you now, don't it?
Oh, yeah. People, we've been definitely sorely miseducated.
A people that perish for lack of what, Cartrell?
Lack of knowledge. Understanding.
Okay. All right, then. And he said, who decked you? King Saul decked your robes with jewels of gold. Because of him, you're decked out. You're pressed. How have the mighty fallen in the thick of battle? Jonathan, slain on your height. I grieve for you, my brother Jonathan. You were most dear to me. Your love was wonderful to me, more than the love of women. How have the mighty fallen? The weapons of war perished. It's a lovely song for King Saul and Prince Jonathan by King David, a humble man. That didn't hold grudges for his own people. And he didn't want that position. And he didn't want to hurt nobody to get it. Some of us will run over each other, stab each other in the back, talk about each other right now. Just to get a little points, get a little position. King Darwin was not that kind of man. If you're that kind of man or woman who is so unlike King Darwin, I tell you what Michael Jackson said in a song. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, asking them, first and foremost, to change their ways. Stop looking out and saying, oh, they got it. What you doing? Look in the mirror. Change your ways. And I believe you'll see some changes you can't believe that's believable. Start with you. Start with your studies. Start by applying your studies. And you'll see some changes that are quite unbelievable. All right, Katja, my brother and friend, what say you?
I say that our brothers, Prophet Moses, our brother King David, set the bar high.
Exactly.
How do you love a people that want to kill you?
Yeah.
Literally, want to stone you with stones. We just read.
And don't like what you're saying, although it's Yah's word. Well, you know, we got a prophet for that. He told that prophet, and we read about it. Hold on, stop. Stop getting mad. Don't let this phase you. You got it twisted. They ain't mad at you. Them ain't your words. Them what I'm saying. They don't want to hear what I'm saying. It's going to be all right. You just do your part. Don't worry about all the rest of it. You think they don't like you. You got it twisted. Ain't nothing about you. It's about me. And we saying the same thing on the Real Talk for Real People show. When you find out some people don't like what you're doing, what y'all say you doing, and how you act, it ain't about you. It's about y'all, the y'all you believe in, that you have incorporated in your life, that you have become intricately entwined in and messed in, and that you're doing what he says. You're making the right application. So no, they ain't going to like it. That's just the way it is. But don't take it personally. Go ahead, Cartrell.
You almost made me lose my train of thought. But I was going to bring up Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
In the public eye, they hated each other.
Yeah.
So it seemed. But do you know Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were good friends?
They were. They liked each other.
Oh, yeah. Because mm-hmm. nobody could understand what both of them had been through with each other.
Right.
One boxer to another boxer. There's nobody on our level to understand what we put each other through.
The pain.
And that's
right. The pain they put on. Cartier, I like your point. I see where you're going. And I'm going to shut up. I see where you're going. Keep at it.
That's the kind of relationship that Prince Jonathan and King David had. They understood their role for the nation was. They were warriors, fearless, who put the Most High first. And they realized everybody don't do that. Jonathan, Prince Jonathan and King David, we click because that's how we get our victory. Unfortunately, Prince Jonathan had to remain loyal to his father, who was the king. And unfortunately, Prince Jonathan didn't have a better path. This is why King David loved Jonathan so much, because he felt like his destiny was really Prince Jonathan's destiny, had King Saul, who he admired so much, had got it right.
Well, Cartrell, I'm going to tell you, that's probably why you and I click. That's why you and I click. Because we understand what y'all are talking about. And we value y'all above all things. I guess that's why we click. That's why we do what we do. You know, so we sort of bonded like that. But, you know, if you ain't doing what y'all said, you can't understand it. That's all they have to say about that. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Yeah, they try to say that relationship between Jonathan and King David was like homosexual, but not on a higher level.
They always was a mess.
Their love for each other was like beyond women. They misinterpret that. Because a woman could never understand what a warrior feels or what a boxer feels because they're not on that level. I'm not going to box no woman on a level, on a high level. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use B-75 against a woman that's on... That's not on that level. That's not even, come on, man. It would be criminal for me to use my skill as a martial artist against a woman.
Well, if I knew somebody that meets my back, I could respect
him and understand where he's coming from, where nobody else could but me and him.
Yeah. But see, Kadre, if they want to see it like that, they're going to see it like that. But that ain't what he was saying, you know. And just like you said, you put it succinctly. Man, I've been where you've been. I've traveled the roads you traveled, Jonathan. And me and you have a kindred bond. Ain't no love like two brothers having a share in a kindred spirit and trusting in Yah in doing so. Ain't nothing freaky about what he's saying. It's just on his twisted mind will see twisted results. If your mind twisted like that, I guess you would see it like that. But I ain't seeing it like that. I see it like Cartrell said. We have some things in common. We fought some common battles. We develop a bond of fighting warriors that love y'all. And we are men of honor. We keep our word. Ain't too many like us. And I ain't got no love for you, brother. And that's what he's saying. I ain't got no love for you.
And guess what?
Yo.
King David realized that he was supplanting his brother Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
The path that Jonathan was supposed to be on, he's supposed to be the next king in line.
Right.
And King David realized that he's supplanting his brother Jonathan, who was a kindred spirit, who loved the Most High just like him.
Yeah.
He realized that he was taking Prince Jonathan off that path, not due to his own fault, because of his father. And that's so sad, because it wasn't Jonathan's fault.
But Prince Jonathan was humble enough to accept it.
Exactly.
He didn't grab it.
He's a greater man.
What about me? What about the way I feel? I didn't do nothing about it. He didn't say, that's what y'all said. That's what y'all does. Y'all does what he wanted to do. I'm good with it, okay? If you're going to be king, let me be your second. Okay, that's good. I'm good with that. I ain't got no problem with it. I'm humble with that. I'm going to follow with y'all. And y'all said, follow you, my brother and friend. That's what I'm going to do. I don't have any problem with it.
And with that, we're going to make a pact, a covenant,
right,
an everlasting covenant, that
right,
when you do become king, because that's what I see the future holds, I pray to you that you don't destroy my descendants. That's what Jonathan asked of him.
Exactly. Because he knew King David was a man of honor, a man of his word, a man of integrity. He said what he said, and he meant what he said. And he knew that. They had a kindred
spirit. That's where that love comes in, because now King David is responsible for the seed of Jonathan, his brother, who he swore to there would no harm come to them.
Well, he gonna make sure he keep his word, too. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Contrail, if you're done with your commentaries, my brother, I certainly am, and we're looking for some commentary and studies in the 7th chapter, I believe, in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yes. So, you know, from what we just gleaned, we see the bar is high. Can we be men of integrity like these men, Jonathan, Prince Jonathan, and even King David? Even when, you know, we got enemies that want to kill us, can we rise above it? And that's what y'all want to see. That's what y'all love. Love your brother as yourself. We know our brothers are crazy out here. King Saul was crazy. That's all you can say about him. He was crazy. Matter of fact, he needed music to calm him down. Are we in the book of Ecclesiastes? Which chapter are we on? 8?
Now, you see anything, Patrick?
Trying to make sure I'm on the right chapter.
I think it was the seventh chapter. If memory serves me correctly, but it doesn't always serve me correctly.
The 7th.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, chapter 6 was a rather short chapter.
That's right. So give thanks and praise to King Solomon, who's known as the preacher. Lemuel, Kohelet, we see here he's just reflecting. And his reflection, he pours forth wisdom. So we thank the Almighty that he's given us our King, King Solomon, who shared with us his thoughts. So our great King says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and a day of death than the day of one's birth. Why would he say that? Because at least you've lived a life when you die. If you're born and you die, you ain't even gonna have a chance. So you just starting out when you're born. You haven't seen anything yet. The day you died, at least you had an appreciation of the life, the gift of life that the Most High has given you. It says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. So all the celebration and partying we doing, we're all going to wind up in the house of mourning for the loved ones that live with us, that we take for granted every day, right? We're all going to wind up eventually in the house of mourning, and we need to seriously think about that. And the living will take it to heart when we go to the house of mourning. Sorrow was better than laughter, for by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. Because, when sorrow and tragedy comes into your life, it brings the realization of life into our lives and makes us reflect. But if you go around, you know, happy-go-lucky, nonchalant, there's consequences. Not to walk around with a sad countenance all the time, because that's not good either. It says the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of birth. So people don't, you know, really want to face death, which is the house of mourning. They just want to see the rosy side of life. But there's life and there's death, and we all have to face it eventually, sooner or later. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools, which is why people don't tune into Blog Talk, Real Talk, Real Talk for Real People show, because there is a lot of rebuke that needs to go around, because most of us are not on the path of seeking Yah or seeking the path of wisdom. So when those people who are on that path try to bring people to that path, which is like a rebuking, people rather hear foolish songs. And that's what we hear in our hood, rap music, foolish songs. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. You don't want thorns under your pot. You want some good solid wood, oak wood, cherry wood, or whatever wood that you're burning to warm up your food, not thorns. This also is vanity. It says, surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. Yeah, so things that tear at a man's integrity, a man's countenance, a man's uprightness, sometimes oppression can make a wise man go mad. And many of our people have been driven mad because of the oppression that we're under. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. It goes back, it's better to die, living a full life, than to, you know, in the beginning, to be a baby. It says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. A lot of people find it hard to be patient. Patient takes discipline. Patient takes control of your own spirit. And we know that King Saul was proud in spirit. He could not see the forest for the trees. He could have done much better had he not been so proud and so focused on himself. It says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. We know a lot of our people are angry in spirit, which is why we can't reason with each other. And that anger, the Most High said that we have, we're only being foolish, because in that emotion of anger, you really can't reason. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? But you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Were the former days or the old days better than the days we're living in now? That's something that we really need to consider, because our ancestors came over here butt naked on ships, and they had a better association with one another than we do now, with the freedoms and the liberties that we have, with the luxuries that we live with. We're not waking up on cotton field, picking cotton from can't see sun up to can't see sun down, like our ancestors were. Our situation, our condition is way more pleasant than what our ancestors had to deal with. So if we think that the former days were better than these, then we need to make that reconsideration. Because we should be able to do way better than our ancestors did with what we have. It says wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. So you have to have a vision, and you have to have wisdom and know what your inheritance is. We think it's the American dream, but that inheritance belongs to somebody else. And we need to focus in on our rightful possessions in this creation that Yah has made. Because everybody has an inheritance. Ours just has been stolen. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. Well, you know that money talks in America. You get the finest lawyer, the finest defense team, and you will get off for the crimes that you commit in America. But wisdom is better than that, because wisdom is a defense, just as money is a defense. You don't need money necessarily if you have wisdom. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. So you don't need money in order to preserve your life. What you need to preserve your life is knowledge and wisdom. That's going to take you a long way. Money might get you killed. Consider the work of Elohim, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? You can't undo what the Most High has done. The Most High has to do it himself. Why? Because he's the creator. You're the created. We are the created. So we might as well be the clay and let Yah mold us in a way and a design that he designs for us. And don't harden yourself where you can't be molded in a way which Yah wants us to be molded. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely Elohim has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. So the Most High is going to watch how you handle adversity, whether it be rich or poor, or strong or weak. The Most High is watching everything that we do. I've seen everything in my days of vanity. So now he's living out this life of vanity, even though he's king. He's trying to find out how man ticks under the sun. It says there is a just man who perishes, who dies in his righteousness. And we see that all the time. And there's a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. So we just discussed that. Where do you go when you die? You don't want to go to Sheol, that's for sure. You
no.
Rather go to sleep with our Father. So yes, a just man, yeah, perishes in righteousness. And we see our brothers getting shot down by police officers, unarmed, doing absolutely nothing, minding their own business. Right? Righteous man, just man, we ask why. Where's the justice? And
right.
The wicked man, these cops live. They go on being cops, shooting more people down. And we wonder where's justice in the earth. But as we read, there is consequences, afterlife. So King Solomon has come to this conclusion. Don't be overly righteous, because who's really judging you? Are you judging yourself, or is Yah judging you? Nor be overly wise. There's not enough wisdom that you can attain in your life to say that you had enough. Will you stop seeking wisdom? Oh, I know. Do you really? Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears Elohim will escape them all. So in life, your main focus should be on the Most High Yah and why he put you here on earth and what your mission is that he's given you in your lifetime. And he's given us the path of wisdom, righteousness, uprightness. And that's all he's asking of you. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. So the more you increase your wisdom, you increase your what? Your spiritual strength. Because it's not a mental strength, and it's not a physical strength. Wisdom is a spiritual strength that connects you with the Most High Yah. For there's not a just man on earth who does not sin.
Amen.
I'm going to read that again. There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin.
Amen.
So what does that say? No matter how righteous you think you are, there's some sin that you've done, brother. You just may not know it. Huh?
I'm going to. Okay?
That's right.
Just make sure you stay on the right track, though. When you know you fall, get your butt back up and get busy.
Confess your sin, because we all sin. We're not perfect. Wasn't made perfect. Y'all wants to know, are you going to be hard or are you going to be humble?
Right.
Because there's not a just man on earth who does not sin. If you're trying to find that guy, he don't exist.
Exactly.
Are just God. We never sin.
Yep.
And I have you believe the Pope is that guy.
Oh, is that right?
He's the Holy Father.
Right. All right. If they said something, I ain't buying it. All right.
Solomon says, also, do not take to heart everything people say. That's a big nugget right there. That's a big jewel right there, right? Because so many people are trying to get likes on Facebook and social media, and you can't take to heart everything people say, right? And he gives you a reason. He said, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also, you, your own heart, has known that you, even you, have cursed others. So you're going to judge people on another level, right? Like they perfect, and you've done the same thing they're doing, right? You had a boss, and you cursed him. Now you're the boss, and you don't think people are going to curse at you?
Mm-hmm.
that's what bosses and employees do, right?
Exactly.
You may not like your boss. I know there's plenty of bosses I had. I'll curse them out to their face. And I'm sure in my position as being a leader, people have cursed me out many times.
Exactly.
So what goes around, coming around, you can't take to heart everything, every people or what people say.
Mm-hmm.
It says, all this I have proven by wisdom. I said, I will be wise. But it was far from me. So King Solomon is confessing. He thought he was the wisest man. People say he was the wisest man. But even he knows that he had limitations, right?
Right.
I said, I would be wise.
We all do.
But it was far from me. So we say, oh, right. King Solomon, he's supposed to be the wisest man, but he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Right here, he's telling you. I try to get wise, but, you know, I went as far as I could, and I thought I could go, you know, to the highest limit, but even me, it was
right.
far from me, right?
Right, exactly.
As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it? So he's trying to tell you he couldn't go deep enough to get all that he wanted to get as far as understanding wisdom to its fullest course. He still had to seek out more. I applied my own heart to know, to search out and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. He's trying to find out the reason for everything. You can't do that, King Solomon. You're only one man. You're not Yah.
Right.
To know the wickedness of folly. That's why we know he broke it all down.
Mm-hmm.
What a fool is, what they do, and what makes them, you know, all messed up in their folly.
Right.
Even of foolishness and madness. He said, I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. So he always talking about this woman, right? He'd rather dwell on a rooftop than in the house of a
mm-hmm.
contentious woman.
Yeah.
Or he'd rather dwell in a desert land than in the house of a contentious woman.
Right.
Now he's describing a whole nother woman.
Yeah, she got games in her mind. She got traps.
Oh, yeah. She about to take you down, brother.
Yeah. If you don't know, now you know.
And guess what? He says the only way you're going to escape her, he said, he who pleases Elohim shall escape from her. So, brothers, y'all ain't got
you
nothing on your system unless
scam.
You got help from the Most High.
You want to escape from that woman? They get putting traps on you, bro. You better get close to y'all. Oh, it's true.
That girl is poison.
Poison.
Never
touch
a big button to smile.
Poison. Poison. Now,
what?
You can find favor with y'all and find your good or not. That's good or not. All women ain't like her. We ain't just, we're not going to blanket indict all women. Because we got some fine, some gorgeous, some loving. We got some supported. We got some y'all loving women out there, and I'm not going to throw it with them more bad, but there is some bad, and we're going to just call it like it is. There is some bad ones now, and it's true.
And brothers think they so bad. There's these women out here that got trash for you, man, and the only way you're going to escape her is if you please y'all.
And what them fools do? What them fools do, Kadria? They catch her dirty. They want to kill the dude. She the one did it to you. Why you got to kill me? I've been in that situation. Yamsu was a bad guy. Yamsu been in that situation with a woman. I mean, he want to kill me. I said, you need to talk that out with her. She told me she was with no man. As a matter of fact, I think y'all really love each other. Y'all need to really work this thing out. Let me up out of here. He didn't want to hear that. No, get on your knees. I'm a bunch capping you. He said, shoot, you got some sisters out there. I'll make the guy, even though she the one dead in the wrong, make him do you in. This is not no game, people. This is real. Yamsu been there, done that. If some women out there are put them hooks in you, just like the OJ said, nah, she got her hooks in me. I'm caught like a fish, and I like it. You'll like it, too. It's true, Contrail. I just had to say, I'm sorry, bro. I know I kind of went into a tangent. I do apologize, but it's true. Contrail, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I said, I do apologize. I went off into a tangent.
No, it's good, because you got to be, you know, expressive for what we're feeling right here. Because it's important, and it's not
right.
Just a, you know, physical woman. It could be the daughters of Babylon, which we're tracking right now.
Right. Could be anybody.
More bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and a net. And we're dealing with the daughter of Babylon.
She was a daughter of Babylon.
Right. Yeah.
Almost got me killed.
So we talking about the nation, though. I'm talking about on a higher scale, on a metaphysical scale. Because America, the emblem for America is the Statue of Liberty, right?
Exactly.
And she got snares and nets with the words she used.
Exactly.
And the only way you're going to escape her is he who pleases Elohim shall escape from her. But you know what? But the sinner shall be trapped by her. Do we got sinners that are trapped by Babylon?
Certainly do, my brother. Certainly do.
The daughters of Babylon got brothers and sisters trapped.
Yeah. It could be a physical
woman. To the snares and the nets and the fetters.
Yeah. It could be a physical woman and it could be a metaphorical speaking.
Exactly.
Right.
And you know, Babylon always uses the woman to seduce.
Right.
They selling cars, but they got a sexy woman on the car to make you buy
for
a car.
Sure.
Come on.
For sure.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
She on a car with a bikini on. What they got to do with the car? What they got to do with the car? Oh, it's true. It's so
that's
true.
A woman whose heart is a snare and net, whose hands are fettered. You know how you're going to escape her? You know how you're going to escape the daughter of Babylon?
Only
he
way.
Who pleases Yah shall
only
escape
way.
From her.
Only one way.
Male and female, because our women are seduced by the daughters of Babylon and the luxuries and the materialistic world they throw at our women. They're seducing you into these snares and traps.
Well, they can be seduced by women, too.
Yeah, we all seduce.
Yeah.
Intoxicated.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to seduce is if you please Yah. He who pleases Yah, Elohim, shall escape from her.
You better believe
but
it.
The sinners, you refuse to follow Yah, you refuse to seek Yah, you refuse to change your ways, you shall be trapped by her.
You heard you're that,
trapped.
Didn't you? You heard
you're not
that.
Getting out. You're not getting out.
No, you ain't getting out of there. Not on your own.
Right.
Y'all got to get you out of that situation.
Exactly. And we have to please Yah. The only way you're going to please Yah is by doing what?
Studying Yah's word, applying it to your life, and confessing when you're wrong and treat each other right just like Yah wants you to do. Love on one another, support each other, draw together, you know, praise Yah, confess to Yah. Ask y'all to take us on home, all them things. More than what is one thing, it's a multifaceted approach, Contrail.
Right. And this chapter I'm going to conclude. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too.
King Solomon says, here's what I have found, says the preacher. Adding one thing to another to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Wow, you had 700 wives, 300 concubines. You still ain't found a woman that you was looking for?
He picked the wrong kind. All women ain't good women. Man. He picked the wrong kind of women. He was picking women from different nations. You know? He told, don't fool with them women of different nations. Them women ain't going to work with you. They going to work on you, which happened. And so, you know, Solomon, King, you picked the wrong kind of sisters. All sisters ain't bad sisters.
He concludes with this. Truly, this only I have found. Elohim made man upright. And that was the Most High's intention, to make man an immortal being that obeyed what he was telling them to do, right?
Exactly.
However, with free will, what happened? But they, meaning mankind, have sought out many schemes rather than do what Yah tells us to do and be upright. What are we doing? We looking out for many other schemes aside from what Yah telling us to do.
Well, Cartrell, that's what we do, brother. And that's why
so
we...
So what's Solomon on point?
We,
I mean,
that's
as
why
far as evaluating we, mankind, he's
right.
Serious.
Right.
We ain't changed.
Well, that's why this, we in the boats we in, sinking all together, Cartrell.
Exactly.
Leaning to our own understanding, trying to establish our own self-righteousness, trying to get titles and all these accrements of this Babylonian nation, even trying to get their women that's got their hooks in us. It's true. All right, fellow students, Cartrell, if Cartrell's done with his commentary, I certainly am. And we're getting ready to get out of here. Well, Cartrell, thank you very much, my brother and friend. I certainly enjoyed that chapter 7. I really enjoyed that. And I hope you did too, fellow students. Because this is not Cartrell's word. It's not Yom Suf's word. It is the word of Yah. Through our King Solomon, the wisest man in the world. Cartrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going. But we know this for all certainty. You getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. And what we suggest to all of you at the end of every show, that you ask the Most High for a heart like King Dawood. One that loves you, love the Most High with all your heart, all your mind, that piece of meat you got up in your skull, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourself, and that thirst after righteousness. That's the kind of mind you got to have, heart you got to have. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. Let's be honest about that. You got to have that sort of heart. Okay? So ask for one when you get off the show. Okay? That's the wisest piece of information we can give you today, along with other wise information. That's the wisest piece we can give to you today. Cartrell and I, we love you. May the Most High bless you. Direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. That's not going to work for you. That's working against you because you're going to do what you want to do. That ain't going to work. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. And this is for the daughters of Babylon that got our hooks and our brothers and sisters. Oh, where you going to get up out of that? You better get you some y'all.
Just can't understand.
We love you.
For the life of me, what I see in you. Yet every time you talk of leaving me, I get so shook up, I don't know what to do. Oh, oh baby,
I get.
Oh, every time I get behind your back. I tell my friends I'm leaving you. And when you question me about it, baby, I swear what they're saying just ain't true. No, no. Oh, 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 baby.
I said, woman,